don't relate to this at all, the students, and these are Latino, and most of them first generation, and they don't relate to a lot of these cultural values, or they don't know the history of their own culture. And so just 2 weeks ago, we had one of the workshops, actually, and they went over Mayan foods and, you know, the initials of, like, not the weed, because then it changed into the weed, but the maize and the importance of maize and having it, some of those things as influences on their current diet and how they can build on that too. So, yes, this is where I'm at. Thank you. The other thing that the center does is data collection. So we do like the we collect data on BMI pre and post, and then 6 month follow up to the the pre and post are related to the workshops, and then the 6 month follow up is kind of an overall of the project. And then the mentors, as I mentioned before, there are graduate and undergraduate. We have mentors from multiple disciplines, so this really helps in their skill sets and in doing mentoring and tutoring services with the students. Most of our graduate mentors have come from a program that's PrimalC. It's a joint program with the UCI Medical School, and so they are going into their fourth year, but they take 1 year off to do their MPH at Cal State Long Beach. And so these are students that are medical students, and they're also getting their master's, and so they've been great role models for these students and for the middle school students. And the mentors must also be bilingual and first-generation educated. So the summer camp, as I mentioned before, the morning gets an academic enrichment. They go over math, English, also computer skills and art. And then in the afternoon, they do multiple physical activities. And this is particularly very appealing to the students because they don't have the access to. So a lot of them don't know how to swim. And at first, it's very fearful for them. And so, you know, they get exposure. And so then later on, they go ahead and say, I want to do more swimming, or, you know, where can we go? And they seek for that afterwards. So, for instance, like bowling and archery. Archery is another huge one where they, you know, don't really have access to do something like that, but they get the exposure, they get influence, and, you know, they can then bring these things to do more physical activity in their own community. From the YMCA, as I mentioned before, they have the key person in regards to having the communication with the families and the students and the community. But some of the things that they provide are the bi-monthly digital media classes. And some of the activities here are like scripting, storyboarding, editing, lighting, sound, and special effects. And so some of the students created videos, kind of PSAs. One of them that I can recall was on obesity. And so they took one of the mentors and stuffed him with a pillow. And, you know, they get really creative with this, and they built this whole storyline as to how they lost their father because, you know, he was obese and he had a heart attack. And the emotions tied to that. And then there's another one where there was a student who, they're motivating each other to lose weight, and they have the scale, and you know, they kind of count down. Instead of reading the pounds, they kind of, you know, it was like obese, overweight, and, you know, healthy weight and things like that. And so they really get creative with this, and it's very fun for them. And some of the software is listed there as to what they use. For the parent outreach, as mentioned before, they are the main point of contact for parents and youth. They make calls to the parents for absent students. That has definitely been a barrier that we've had in the past where some of the students show up the first time and then the second time they're not there. And so we have to make sure we're keeping up with them for attendance in the program. This year has been very successful with that. Invitations to workshops and events, and then parent liaisons. They also provide transportation and supervision to most of the different facilities. So at Hamilton Middle School, they provide the participant recruitment. They also provide academic data collection. They have biweekly activities on site, so they provide us with a space for the Yes Center. This is where we do academic tutoring, mentoring, and then also cultural workshops, and where they have a space to eat a healthy snack, and also the outdoor space to do physical activity, and they'll engage in team sports like football, basketball, soccer, you know, et cetera. And they also do individual activities like yoga and running. So one of the key things for maintaining community partnerships is communication. We have a community advisory board. We meet regularly to do updates and also reports on status quo. Also for troubleshooting problems that we come across, we phone, email, time, weekly or biweekly face-to-face interaction. As the project coordinator is attending at the different locations, so they are at the digital media classes. They are at the tutoring site at Hamilton Middle School, so that interaction is definitely close-knit because the project coordinator is kind of moving with a group of students throughout the different programs. Also with parents, they're invited to special events. We really feel that, one of the things that is missing in the pipeline in just for student advancement and also for healthy eating and physical activity is involvement with the parents, and the parents are key and the family is key. So, you can tell the student, eat healthy, work out, study, get good grades, but if they don't get that support from home, it's very difficult for them to really follow through with that. So we do try to involve them and bring them into the university, especially to walk around the university. They get a tour of the university. Also, when they do, prior to participating for the summer camps, they go and take a tour of the summer camps and all the facilities. And they get, it's kind of a foreign world to them when they come to the university because they've never really been there. And a lot of these, as I mentioned, they're low-income, first-generation. So that exposure has been really helpful to them in helping their youth. So this is kind of just a summary, so I'm just going to skip that just because of time. Some room for improvement, some of the barriers. So for the youth participant, we need to over-recruit to maintain a core group of 34. That's our core number. And as mentioned before, we have some dropout. And so this year, what we're doing, we over-recruited. And so if someone decides to drop out, we have a wait list that we can pull from to always make sure we have those 34 students there. We also do, we've broken down larger groups because of the 34 students, it can get a little chaotic in a room, and also the needs that they have for tutoring, it could be multiple subjects. So we've broken them down into what we call familias, and so we have them into groups of 6 or 7 paired with 1 or 2 mentors. And so that really assists for them to get that one-on-one attention that they need. The other thing that we've run across is that students want to continue after 1 year, and really it's just a 1 year participation. We have taken a few students to then return as peer mentors. For the mentors, their semester schedules has been something that we have to look into. It alters every semester, and so we have to be pretty flexible with that. The other thing is pre-training of mentors is needed. We have begun to address that issue. We currently are partnering with Long Beach Blast, which is a better learning for all students today. And they've allowed us to they've agreed to provide training to our students. Okay. And then data collection. Our data collection is done by outside staff, just so that they're not influencing the data collection. And this has been a little bit difficult just because having consistency in their schedules as well, and getting that relationship with the parents to come in and do the family, the parent interviews. And so that's something we need to look into. And also just turnover in staff in general has been an issue. Lessons that we've learned is that youth participants need to learn about their own cultural heritage to really build on their different assets. And some of the things that worked really well was breaking down the large group into smaller groups, into familias. Also, the youth actively engage in physical activity as long as they have the role models doing it as well, or the mentors. So a lot of our mentors are actively involved in a lot of the programs that they're doing. And then also diversity among the mentor staff has been helpful. Again, they bring the multiple skill sets to the programs, and also really provide the students and the parents as well some communication and connectivity between them. And then weekly meetings to prepare for youth activities is also needed. And that's it.
So, are there questions?
Okay. Sorry for the little glitch before. I think we resolved it.
Thank you.